Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Gospel today is from St. Luke. We have our Lord's raising of the son of the widow of Nain. I'd like to look at it from three different perspectives, or three different lenses, if you will. In the first, we have this great crowd of people approaching the city, surrounding our Lord, listening to the words of life. And as they approach the gate, they encounter on a collision course with a great crowd of people who are exiting the city around a dead man. And this becomes, in a certain respect, an image of a kind of a whole culture or a world of life and a whole culture or way of death. This contrast is common in the scriptures. The God of this world, Satan, is the God of the father of lies, destruction. He holds over us the fear of death. And our Lord is the author of life. The way and the truth and the life, the source of life, one who gives us life. So there's this clash of cultures, as it were, that we experience in our world. Everywhere we look, there's a kind of clash. I'm going to be cautious not to reduce this to some sort of this group against that group, this political party against that political party, whatever it might be. It's not about a certain kind of moral movement or social movement or groups that we form and coordinate in this fallen world of ours. It's really our response to Christ himself. There's this very beautiful passage in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It says that Christ always leads us in triumph. And the word that he's used is this word that's used in military context after a war has taken place. And there's this triumphal procession. And he says that the fragrance, the aroma that Christ gives off is to those who are perishing a stench. And in this great procession in the military times, there would be those that were captured and they were in chains. And it would be all of this incense going up in the procession. And they would smell that incense and it was to them a stench because they had lost, they were taken captive. So St. Paul says that this aroma of Christ is to those who are perishing a stench. They look at Christ and they're repulsed. And on the other hand, he says to those who are being saved, not those who were saved or anything past tense, is those who are in the process of being saved, it's a sweet fragrance. This is really fundamentally the difference between the culture of death and the culture of life and the kind of clash of cultures at the city gate. It's our response to Christ himself. And whether when we see him, experience him, hear about him, it is to us a kind of lightness, a brightness, a joy, an anticipation, an expectation. Or is it the sort of hopelessness, frustration, irritation, maybe even anger, bitterness, resentment, gloom that surrounds death? So the first way of looking at this text is this clash of cultures around response to Christ. But if we look at it in a quite different sort of way, we notice some strange similarities, very strange similarities between this, as it were, funeral procession and this group of people surrounding the author of life. It's a young man who's died, and he's the focal point of this crowd proceeding out of the city. Without him, there wouldn't be any crowd there. The young man, who was the only son of his mother and his mother's widow. Well, how about the crowd that's approaching the city? It's also focused around a young man. A young man who is the only son of his mother, who almost certainly by this time is a widow. And I think St. Luke does this to point out these facts about the event to show us that this whole scenario, this death and life, is really an image of Christ himself. That Christ comes into the world to be with us, even to the point of experiencing this death, where his mother will be at the foot of the cross and lament him, even as this mother lamented her young son. Christ is the one who enters death. And the place of death is a place where there is change, where we're not free to move. But when Jesus heals this man, he sits up. And when our Lord enters Hades, the chains can't bind him. Death is the place where we're not able to speak. When we lie in the grave, we're silent. We think about this in the funeral hymns of the church. But when Christ heals this man, he sits up and he speaks. And our Lord, when he entered Hades, in his silence, spoke all that needed to be spoken to destroy Hades. And so on the one hand, these two crowds look like a clash of opposing forces. On the other hand, these two crowds sum up the work and ministry of our Lord in taking on human flesh to come among us, to be with us, to die with us, so that we might rise with him. It also forms a beautiful reflection on his own relationship to his mother. And even at the cross, when he gave his mother to the disciple John, you can tell this sort of tremendous compassion. And it's expressed in things like when he approaches this crowd, he sees the sorrow of the mother and has compassion on her. It doesn't say he has compassion on the dead man, he has compassion on the mother who's grieving. We're so interconnected, lives are so profoundly interwoven with one another. Now, the third way to look at this text is that because of what Christ has done, we ourselves live both with this living and dying within us. St. Paul emphasizes this a great deal in the 3 or 4 chapters immediately after. He says Christ leads us in triumph. He goes on and says all of these really amazingly beautiful things, not that we consider ourselves adequate as anything coming from ourselves or actually from God, but the main thread through these things is different ways of expressing our dependency on God, but he often does that by talking about how in the body we're groaning. We're present in the body, at home in the body, absent from the Lord. In this state, the body, our life, is groaning. Even the way he talks about in Romans, that all of creation is groaning. Suffering the effects of the fall. And in these chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6 of 2 Corinthians, he's emphasizing how that groaning takes place in the very context of our body and soul, our struggle in this life. So he'll say things like that we are always carrying about the dying of Jesus in our mortal bodies, this body that's mortal, that's passing away. We feel that, we get older and our body starts to give out a little bit, or a lot of it. We feel it and experience it in the world outside of us. This world is in a way falling apart. It's dissolving, crumbling. But he says we do that so that we might carry the life of Jesus in our mortal bodies. And so it's this life and death united in us. He talks about our body being a tent. It's a fragile, subject to the powers of nature, not a nice, big, strong fortress, but kind of a weak and frail container given by God, useful, but easily broken, afflicted, crushed. And yet it's precisely that tent that is being renewed and transformed as the inner man is renewed and transformed. So that he'll say that we're going from glory to glory. And unlike Moses, the image, the glory that was on Moses' face from his entering into the tabernacle and experiencing God, he would come out, his face would shine with glory, and he would cover it with a veil. And St. Paul tells us that he would cover it with a veil because it was fading. It was passing away. It was kind of almost an embarrassment that he couldn't maintain that glory. But what St. Paul says for us is that that veil has been lifted. Anyone who comes to Christ, who smells that sweet fragrance, who is in the process of being saved, who's living about the dying of Jesus in this world that we live in, not dying alone, but caring about his death in us, then that glory is manifesting itself more and more fully in us. So, in that sense, even in our death, life is becoming more and more apparent to those who look on us. We don't have to, like Moses, cover our face to hide that dissipating glory. So, on the one hand, this is gospel is an image of life as a whole, society as a whole, the world as a whole, with a kind of clashing responses to the person of Jesus Christ. It's an image of the totality of Christ's work and life on this earth, his relationship to his mother, his relationship to us, but ultimately his relationship to our death, being willing to be with us so that we might rise with him. And then it becomes really because of him. If we are willing to turn to him, it becomes an image of that inner life that we live for as many days as God gives us on this earth. That confrontation of life and death takes place within our very souls. And that life is not simply defeating or destroying that death within us, but transforming the mortality of our bodies into immortality, cleansing and washing away the passions and the stains and the distractions that divert us from that sweet fragrance of Christ. So it's really a very profound and beautiful text that St. Luke gave us, and it's our choice, our calling, to enter in to this life of caring about the dying of Jesus so that his life might be manifest in our mortal bodies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.